You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Greater Boston has running on the brain. As the region prepares for more than 60,000 sneakers and wheels to race across 26.2 miles of Massachusetts next Monday. So for now, we're interested in a different kind of marathon brain. It's called runner's high. It's a special euphoria that's induced by extreme exercise. And whether you'd love to earn it or you will spend the rest of your life making sure you avoid it, researcher and runner Dan Lieberman has learned some fascinating things about it. Lieberman is chair of the Department of Human Evolutionary Biology at Harvard University. Dan Lieberman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you to be here. Thanks so much.
And it is a pleasure to have you here, very much so. So obviously the first question, I know you're a runner. Do you ever get runner's high? Has it ever happened for you?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I'm one of those runners who does get a runner's high. Not all the time, but most of the time, but it takes me at least, 12 to 15 miles before I get one. But yeah.
And physiologically, do only runners get it? Is it unique to that form of sort of what I would call extreme exercise, or can you get it in other kinds of endurance sports as well?
Other endurance, aerobic sports can induce a runner's high. So I think you can get a swimmer's high or a biker's high or a cyclist's high, but it's called runner's high because, after all, running is the most fundamental form of vigorous human physical activity.
What's it feel like?
Well, it's a bit like getting high from cannabis. It's you have this kind of sense of euphoria, but you also get this sort of heightened sense of sensory awareness. So I think the first time I realized I had runner's high was when I ran the London Marathon, actually. It was one of the first marathons I ran. And it was right at the end, and I was going by Big Ben, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, Big Ben is so big. And then when I got to the finish line, I actually met up with some friends, and they said, you have to be careful when you get home. You're very high. So, that's kind of what it's like. Everything is more intense. Blues are bluer. Sounds sound more like what they come from. Big Ben is bigger. It's a heightened sense of awareness.
Of course, we're intrigued by this now because the Boston Marathon is coming up Monday, and we will be covering it here all day on the station. We'll be covering it here on Radio Boston on Monday. And I want to come back to the Boston Marathon for a minute, but I'm going to key in because part of the reason we wanted to talk to you is there's new learning on what's behind this. And you said you used the word high and you used the word cannabis, and you used those words intentionally because of what we are learning is actually happening in the body, Dan Lieberman, right?
Yeah. So when you do any kind of exercise, you basically turn on this cocktail of molecules that have all kinds of effects on our mood. We produce opioids, right? So that help us blunt pain. We produce dopamine that make us want to do it again. We produce serotonin, which affects our mood. We produce epinephrine and other molecules that affect our mood in our brain, but the runner's high is a special one. It's caused by endocannabinoids. So these are molecules, the same kind of molecule that you get from cannabis, and when you undergo like extreme exercise, like running a marathon, you not only produce more of these molecules, but you also upregulate the receptors that to which they bind in your brain. And so you get this, you can get a very intense high that can last quite a long time.
So, Dan Lieberman, what I think I'm understanding is everybody has these endocannabinoids in them, but you referred to yourself at the top of our conversation as one of the lucky people who experiences runner's high. So they're not triggered in the same way in everybody?
Yeah. In fact, not even all runners get it. So there are studies which show that, I'm not sure the exact numbers because there's not a lot of good research on this, but I think about 2 out of 3 runners, at a marathon will get a runner's high, but it's not everybody. And I've run some marathons and not felt like I had a runner's high afterwards. So it's not a necessary it doesn't always happen.
So you're running your 14th Boston Marathon this coming Monday, correct?
Supposedly, yeah.
Wait, what's that? Both the laugh and the supposedly.
Oh, well, it's just, every year I say it's going to be my last Boston. And so, but maybe this year really won't be my last Boston. But yes, this is my 14th in a row.
So one of the things I was curious about is every course, right? You've run London, this is going to be your 14th Boston. Every course is known for some unique features. For example, Heartbreak Hill here on the Boston course. Is there, a particular place on a course or a hill or a mile marker where one would be more likely on the Boston course to experience this? I know you might be like, did you not hear me, woman? But I have to ask. And if you've experienced it in the Boston Marathon, I want to know where on the course, Dan Lieberman.
Well, I don't know. That's a hard one to, because sometimes I don't realize I've got a runner's high until I'm done. And then, I often meet my wife afterwards and then I realize that my behavior is a little bit abnormal and sure, she reminds me. So sometimes I don't really notice it until, because, the last few miles aren't easy. They're hard, right? So and you're focusing on just putting one foot in front of the other and not tripping and getting to the finish line. So I don't really usually notice it until I'm done.
So you said it can last quite a while. So in all seriousness, and you've said it's similar to something you could experience with cannabis. You've said it's endocannabinoids that cause it. Is this something where, if somebody's got a loved one who's running the Boston Marathon on Monday and they seem pretty high when they're done from a runner's high, in all seriousness, you probably would drive for them anyway, but, should you be paying attention to things like that for people's safety, Dan Lieberman?
I don't think my experience is it's just a kind of heightened sensory awareness and a sense of, reduced anxiety and, you just feel, you have euphoria. I don't think it's actually all that dangerous. It's actually nice. I wouldn't drive a car after running a marathon, no matter what. But it's okay. But I think that we didn't evolve it to feel euphoric. I believe that this system evolved because back in the day, of course, we weren't running marathons. Nobody evolved. None of our ancestors stood on one line and ran as fast as they could to another line 26.2 miles away. This is a really weird modern thing.
Although one did, right? Because that's how the legend of the marathon starts, right?
The
Greek who ran across, Greece to notify people at the end of a war.
That's true, but that wasn't a race. That was, he was
I'm
just a messenger.
I'm playing with you, Dan.
Right, yeah. He was just a messenger. And by the way, there's no evidence that he died at the end, by the way. That was completely made up.
That's apocryphal.
Long, long afterwards, just to make it sound more romantic. But what the reason our ancestors ran was to hunt, right? They were doing what's called persistence hunting, where they're following and tracking prey. And when you do that, you're not only running sometimes, but you're also walking sometimes. But you're also tracking the animal, right? And that requires looking for signs, like you're looking at the footprints. You're looking for maybe traces of blood, or you're listening to the birds and whatever. And so I think that heightened sensory awareness, that's part of the runner's high, might have evolved to help our ancestors perform these tasks better. It's an adaptation to help you be more aware when you're doing these intense physical activities.
It's interesting because the last time I spoke with you here on Radio Boston was back in 2021, and you had written a book, and part of it was sort of that we don't fundamentally like exercise, even though it's good for us. We had sort of evolved to be moderately active. Is there an incentive piece of this?
I think the runner's high is really more a way to kind of increase your sensory awareness and kind of help you feel good. But the real incentive that you get from exercise is dopamine. So dopamine is another molecule. And by the way, you don't need to run a marathon to get a dopamine hit. Any sort of good workout will do that. And dopamine is sometimes called the molecule of more. It's the reward molecule. It tells your brain, do that again, right? It's also involved in addiction. So people who exercise regularly need to keep exercising because otherwise their dopamine receptors are unhappy, and that's actually good, right? It keeps us active. So there are the endocannabinoids that give you a runner's high are part of a cocktail of molecules that our brain produces that are really good for us. They're also molecules that also help keep the brain healthy. We produce something called brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, BDNF, which actually prevents inflammation and Alzheimer's and dementia and keeps our brains functioning. And again, you don't need to run a marathon to get these all these benefits.
So I'm sorry, I'm going to key back in. because you just said something prevents Alzheimer's and dementia. And I need to kind of fact check that back around with you. You understand why I'm asking you that, right?
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, the physical activity, if you look at the evidence for, you know, what prevents Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, nothing comes as close as to physical activity in terms of prevention.
The
evidence is very clear from many, many, many studies.
Well, I wasn't expecting it to end on that, but that is fascinating. And we'll be covering the marathon on Monday. We obviously won't see you run, Dan Lieberman, but I want to wish you luck. Dan Lieberman is the chair of the Department of Human Evolutionary Biology at Harvard. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, for people watching the Boston Marathon, that is a one-day event. But for the people who run it, Monday's race, including Dan, is the culmination of months or even years of preparation. WBUR climate correspondent Barbara Moran is going to run her first Boston Marathon on Monday, part of a team raising money for charity. And she has been documenting the ups and downs of her training through a series of voice memos that goes all the way back to late last year.
My name is Barbara Moran. I am 53 years old, and I am running the Boston Marathon. Or I'm going to try to run the Boston Marathon. I used to run marathons when I was younger. I've run 5. But then, you know, I injured my knee. I had kids. My knee got worse. And eventually I just stopped. My knees are in pretty bad shape. My right knee is much worse. I am headed toward a knee replacement, and I asked my orthopedist, say I wanted to run one more marathon. Should I run it before a knee replacement or after a knee replacement? And she said, oh, definitely before. So anyway, I went back and told her I was running Boston, and she said, okay. Okay, it is Saturday, December 9th. Just walking home from my second team run. I'm limping. 5.5 miles. Hard to imagine how this is going to turn into 26 miles. I just feel like I ran a marathon already. I'm going to go home and eat some leftover pizza, lie on the couch, I think. So I guess the question is, why am I doing this? And I feel like the last couple of years have been pretty tough. You know, we had the pandemic. I was taking care of my elderly father and my aunt. They both died. I feel like I'm coming out of a long, dark thing, and this is a hopeful act. Okay, it is December 23rd. I'm walking home after a team run, 7 miles today, best run yet. Woo! I am feeling like I might be able to do this marathon. Yes, and now I can eat anything I want through Christmas. Wait, that's the walk sign.
Wait.
Okay, woo! Do 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 do.
Jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow.
January 16th, 6:45 a.m. Just ran 5 miles. It's snowing. Ran super slow. Whoa, almost fell. Should pay attention to what I'm doing. My feet are soaked and freezing, and my hands are soaked and freezing, and my hair is frozen. I think I'm getting a cold. January. Saturday, February 10th. 16 miles. Okay, across the street. Wow. These curbs seem so high. Okay. Saturday, March 9th, 19 miles. I went out way too fast, and now I'm in a new level of pain. Okay, just... my poor knees. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, knees. Why am I doing this? It's Wednesday, March 13th. I think I'm in the freak-out stage now of marathon training. I had this 19-mile run last weekend, and it really hurt, man. My husband said yesterday that I seem happier doing all this marathon training, which is funny because, you know, he can hear me, like, sobbing in the shower. Okay, it's Saturday, March 23, about 7 in the morning. Let's see how it looks outside. Okay, pouring rain and pretty cold. I can see my breath in the air. I'm in my basement warming up. I have our last long run today, 20 miles. I'm hoping this goes okay today and I feel confident afterward. 10 miles out, 10 miles back, one step at a time. I can do it. It's really raining out there though, mamma mia. Okay, I just finished 20 in just over 4 hours, and I'm tired, but I feel okay. It was good. Okay, it's Saturday, April 6th, just over a week until the marathon. Amazing. Just had our last team run, 8 miles. Went fine. And I feel good. I can't believe it. I didn't think I could do this. And I did it. So what else could I do? The wheels start turning. Okay. See you at the finish line.
WBUR climate correspondent Barbara Moran runs her first marathon next Monday. This piece was produced by Chloe Axelson. Hey, Barb, we'll see you at the finish line. Tune in all day Monday for coverage of the Boston Marathon. For now, stay with us. This is Radio Boston.